Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is our 15th esoteric astrology adventure, and we are beginning with the creative hierarchies. I ran into a little mishap. As you know, I had to do two versions of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 14. In a way, they're quite different, so different information will be gathered on each one. But one of them does have the video. And let's just check. Yes, this is showing the screen. Okay. We are entering that interesting and difficult subject called the creative hierarchies. At the end of EAA, Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 14, I did discuss the creative hierarchies a little bit, but I shall continue now as if beginning the subject. The Tibetan says, it might here be appropriate if I interpolated a chart or tabulation, which may be found suggestive of some of these interlocking energies which, and here he describes how the energies work, which play through, traverse, return, stimulate, and energize every part of our solar system. We have energies, dynamic energies, flowing and animating all aspects of our solar system. They only evoke conscious response where the vehicle of expression and of response is adequate to the impact. And this statement is true of the solar logos, the planetary logoi, and of all forms in all kingdoms, in all the kingdoms upon our planet. So it is possible that energies can be so refined that even a solar logos or a planetary logos may be unaware of such energies. Remember that a solar logos is to some lives as a crystal is to a human being. So, and I suppose to some other lives, even as an atom is, or even as a subatomic particle. So just as the tiny microscopic lives within our own system cannot consciously register the kinds of energies which we, in a high moment of meditation, might touch, so it is even with the planetary and solar logoi in relation to registering consciously certain very, very high cosmic energies. There will be reaction, however, but we're talking about conscious registration. DK goes on page 33, unconscious reaction will of course exist, but it will be on a general or mass scale, and much of it pours through to us from these distant constellations via the fifth creative hierarchy. Now, this fifth creative hierarchy is an almost liberated hierarchy. It is almost focused on the cosmic astral plane, but does still seem to have some degree of connection with the cosmic physical plane. We have to wonder whether the system of initiation for these particular hierarchies is the same as for humanity. We know that at the ninth initiation, the member of the fourth creative hierarchy, the human hierarchy, refuses contact, any further contact with the cosmic physical plane, and is liberated onto the cosmic astral plane. We have to wonder then whether this fifth creative hierarchy has passed its ninth initiation, whether that initiation is similar to that of the ninth initiation for a member of the fourth or human creative hierarchy. In any case, they are not yet in a totally liberated state. So, but there are very, very high energies which can reach humanity en masse, pouring through the fifth, almost liberated creative hierarchy. This is different, of course, from the fifth hierarchy. Let's see, how can I do this? From the fifth hierarchy of the liberated, of the manifested kind. Here is the hierarchy of solar angels. Its number is also number five, but it is a fifth manifested creative hierarchy, and not the fifth unmanifested, in other words, unmanifested on the cosmic physical plane. That higher one, which is a prototype of this tenth or fifth creative hierarchy of solar angels, is the one of which we are speaking. Okay, so this fifth creative hierarchy apparently is a conduit to many lives on the cosmic physical plane of great and high energies. Just the way the fifth manifested creative hierarchy of solar angels conveys to man much that he might not otherwise touch. Many solar energies, because we do want to remember that the solar angels or solar Petries are members of the council of the solar logos, the council within the sun, as it were. So this hierarchy, the fifth, let's call it unmanifested or nearly liberated creative hierarchy, being on the verge of liberation, that is, onto the cosmic astral plane, onto the cosmic astral plane, is to be found on the intellectual level of consciousness. Now, that word intellectual is interesting because it doesn't simply mean that which pertains to the concrete mind of man. The Neoplatonists considered the word intellectual as penetrating into the intuition and to be of a much deeper nature than ratiocination, pure, a simple reasoning process. So the number five has to do with the intellect, but I do believe we are talking about receptivity to the fifth cosmic level. This is hierarchy number five, and there is a fifth level of the cosmic planes. Let's see if we can get there. We have, yes, coming. Yes, this would be it. And we see that the fifth level of the super cosmic planes, super cosmic physical plane, is the fifth cosmic plane. And that might be called intellection in the cosmic sense. Okay. Now we will go back here to the table of hierarchies, as that's what we'll be discussing primarily. Okay. So this hierarchy, being on the verge of liberation, is to be found on the intellectual level of consciousness. And that is, let us say, with connection to the fifth cosmic plane. If the Buddha, who was a member of the fourth creative hierarchy, much lower, the fourth or ninth creative hierarchy, much lower than these lives, could touch the cosmic mental plane in a great act of penetrating consciousness, then it is certainly possible for these much higher hierarchies to be able to bring through something of that energy on the cosmic mental plane, whereon can be found the origin of the solar angels. They are related to the cosmic mental plane, and they are a still lower hierarchy than this one, which serves as the prototype for the solar angels. So it can be found on the intellectual level of consciousness and can therefore be used as a focal point and transmitter of the higher energies to our solar system and to the planet. And remember that when we talk about solar system, a solar system is found on the cosmic physical plane, which includes, of course, the cosmic etheric levels. When we reach the astral body of the solar logos and the mental body and so forth, we no longer call those dimensions of his life the solar system. If you make a careful study of the chart of the 12 creative hierarchies, beginning on page 34, you will note that this hierarchy is influencing, and is influenced by the seventh ray of magical order and ceremonial organization. Note those words. Normally we hear the ray of ceremonial magic and the ray of order. But here it is magic and order are put together, which is a certain type of arrangement or relationship which has the power to invoke and thus evoke higher archetypal patterns which flow from the highest to the lowest. Now, if we look at the table of unmanifested creative hierarchies, we will notice that the seventh ray is indeed present. It is the fifth, but it is related to the seventh ray. It is influenced by a higher type of seventh ray and apparently has an influence upon the manifestation of the seventh ray upon the cosmic cosmic physical plane. It's a hierarchy that we are told is veiling the Christ, and I would say that as the hierarchical ruler of Cancer is Neptune, we necessarily have to look for its relation, the relationship of this fifth hierarchy to the fifth hierarchy below that is ruled by Venus. So the fifth hierarchy above is ruled by Neptune, the fifth hierarchy below is ruled by Venus, and that is very suitable. We know that Neptune is considered to be the higher octave of Venus, and when the time of absorption comes at the end of our solar system, Venus, the inner principles of Venus, will be absorbed and synthesized into the synthesizing planet Neptune. Interesting that this hierarchy has so much to do with manifestation, as we would suspect, because Cancer transmits the third ray and the seventh ray, which are two rays of manifestation, the third ray being the ray of manifestation in relation to the rays of aspect, and the seventh ray being the ray of manifestation in relation to the rays of attribute, and indeed in relation to all the rays. So we have a peculiar situation here in which the ruler Neptune, which is usually an influence which lifts up and out, is through the principle of desire, which it rules, creating the incentive toward manifestation on the cosmic physical plane. You know, when we desire something strongly enough, and Neptune does in part rule our solar plexus, it is already on its way into manifestation. So, although Neptune could be involved in what we would call lifting this particular hierarchy up onto the cosmic astral plane, which I think has a close relationship to Neptune. Varuna is a lord of the astral body of the planetary logos and has a relationship with some higher cosmic astral lords. all of these cosmic astral lords have either a Neptunian origin or a relationship to the planet Neptune. So Neptune is raising the lives of this fifth creative hierarchy up onto the cosmic astral plane, but at the same time producing that type of wish life or desire which seeks manifestation on the cosmic physical plane. And so we see sort of an in-between status for this particular creative hierarchy. Now, you know, we can say a few things about these hierarchies based on what the Tibetan has given us. After all, what would we know about them unless the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood had made this available to us through Blavatsky and Bailey and through the good offices of the Tibetan, who is representing that quantity of esoteric knowledge which he has been given permission to release. Okay, so this hierarchy is influencing and influenced by the seventh ray of magical order and ceremonial organization. When you want to do ceremony, you know, you find that all the elements which are participating in that ceremony, including the people, have to be arranged in a particular manner if the ceremony is to be truly evocative of the descending energies. The basic function of this ray is to relate spirit and matter. We know the word of power for the seventh ray is the highest and the lowest meet, and produce the manifested form. And we have here Cancer as the ruler of this hierarchy, of course, much involved in form building, creating a vessel for the containment of higher energies. So this hierarchy is very important in producing manifested forms on the cosmic physical plane. In a way, everything on the cosmic physical plane is a manifested form. Normally, when we think of phenomena or of manifestation, we think of those forms which appear on the dense levels, the dense cosmic levels, which are the mental, astral, and physical plane. But there are etheric forms, indeed, because the cosmic physical plane is cosmically physical. And so we also have to be aware that the cosmic ethers are planes of form as well. The sign of the zodiac with which this hierarchy, it, is closely connected is that of Cancer the Crab, which is a mass sign. It is a cardinal sign with a mass effect, DK tells us. A cardinal sign with a mass effect, meaning it affects not so much individuals as aggregations of individuals, and it is one of the gates into manifested life. Well, the gate into life of those who must know death. I think this is sometimes how Cancer is described. And Capricorn is described as the gate into life of those who know no death. But in a way, this is a dual gate, this Cancer gate. It certainly is bringing down cosmic astral desire into manifestation, but at the same time, since it is in process of being liberated from the cosmic physical plane, and since Neptune, a planet of ascending liberation, a planet which is so subtle that it eludes the grip of form when it chooses to, we see that the gate of Cancer in this particular case might operate in both ways, both down into the cosmic physical plane and a gate out of the cosmic physical plane onto the cosmic astral plane. Okay. Anyway, that's a speculation. Now, that's as far as we got in version 1 of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 14. At that time, I realized that we had a problem and that nothing was being shown on the screen. But okay, that can happen where there are many technical things to deal with. So now we move on, and he says, the following information anent, The hierarchies may prove useful, and it has been gathered from various sources. We're not told which sources they are, and maybe the Tibetan supervised the gathering. Probably some of it has certainly been from cosmic fire, and from Blavatsky's work, in which the Tibetan participated very strongly, giving HPB a lot of the information that appeared in the Secret Doctrine. He says, I might here remind you that the seven planes of our solar system are the seven subplanes of the cosmic physical plane. Okay, these are sometimes, these seven subplanes are sometimes called solar planes and systemic planes. The four creative hierarchies which have achieved liberation, notice that even though it looks like we have five that have achieved liberation, because this particular diagram is focusing on the cosmic astral plane, that only really four have achieved liberation, and that this fifth unmanifested hierarchy, or partially manifested hierarchy, is not entirely liberated onto the cosmic astral plane. Well, we talk about the cosmic astral plane. Really, what do we mean? You know, we are barely conscious on all levels of our astral plane. We feel, of course, but the question is, do we see? So, you know, it remains speculative, but in the Path of Magnetic Work, who's one of the seven or nine paths out of our solar system, on the way of higher evolution, this Path of Magnetic Work has a destination of the cosmic astral plane, and there it is much discussed. What is the nature of the pure love which is found on the cosmic astral plane, even though that cosmic astral plane is strangely, in a cosmic sense, the home of cosmic evil, just as our own astral plane, in a location that Master Moria calls Mara Kara, is the home of systemic evil, or planetary evil. And we all remember that the Buddha fought against the scorpionic forces of Mara. Anyway, the four creative hierarchies which have achieved liberation are now to be found focused upon the cosmic astral plane. Whatever consciousness they have is primarily focused there. Hence their potency even when out of manifestation. And what is the implication here? That in our solar system, anything astral is potent, because our solar logos is astrally polarized. It is his most integrated vehicle of expression. We've not been given the name of the Lord who rules the astral body of the solar logos. We have been given the name of the Lord who rules the astral body of the planetary logos, and that Lord is Varuna. We're told that he is the most powerful Lord, perhaps because of the secondary nature of our planetary logos, but more because of the astral Buddhic polarization of our solar logos. That it is an integrated astral body, and hence even we human beings way down here have among our personality vehicles, as the most potent vehicle, the astral vehicle. The fifth creative hierarchy, not yet on the cosmic astral plane, exists on the highest etheric level. Now, that's so interesting, because this is the logoic level and the sea of fire. And interestingly enough, Neptune is called the something of this nature, I hope it's almost correct, repository of the solar flames. Yes, and so the Sea of Fire and the repository of the solar flames may be related. And this fifth unmanifested creative hierarchy, or partially manifested, exists on the levels of Shambhala in that sense. Very interesting, existing on the level of Shambhala, or at least this is where the Christ and the Buddha now find themselves, and this is where the Lord of the world, on whatever subplane of that logoic plane, holds court or holds his council. And this fifth creative hierarchy will join the other four hierarchies when the sixth creative hierarchy has measured up to cosmic opportunity and is itself nearing liberation. Now, here we're talking about the sixth creative hierarchy, which is now the first manifested creative hierarchy ruled by Leo. And let us take a look at that one. And that is here. It is ruled by Leo. Its number is 6 when relating it to the 5 above it, but its number is also number 1 when considering its relationship to the cosmic physical plane. And if we are numbering up, it is also number 7. The number 1 doesn't appear to be given here, should be. But anyway, this first ray tells us of the number 1, the Leo hierarchy. So the principle is that no life can move on to its next higher destined dimension until the lives below it are ready to move. In other words, one is almost replaced by a kind of upward pressure. Nature, we are told, abhors a vacuum, and if the fifth creative hierarchy moved on to the cosmic astral plane, a vacuum would be created, but it must be a lawful replacement. There would have to be a prepared ascent for the sixth creative hierarchy. So we are all related to each other with one hand above and one hand below, as the magician's symbol shows us. And DK also said that, well, there is one member of his ashram who has not yet made the grade for a certain destined office, therefore he himself is not free to move. Or was it Master KH? One of them was not free to move because a certain disciple, who was certainly an accomplishing disciple, had not yet quite made the grade. So we have, as we attempt to make the grade, responsibilities to those above us and responsibility to those below us, and that the dual direction of occult responsibility cannot be evaded. So anyway, it's very interesting to see that this Cancerian hierarchy exists on the highest etheric levels, which are basically the highest part of what we have been calling Shambhala. All right, the following tabulation showing some of the astrological relationships in connection with the constellation of the Great Bear, the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters, Sirius, and the Seven Solar Systems. Okay, let's go here into the astrology book itself, just to make sure that nothing has been left out. Okay, so this was page 34, approximately. Esoteric Astrology, page 34. Yes. Okay. And, okay, anyway, the following is... So, these are the tabulations we have been using. And perhaps we should simply review them, not in an interpretive sense, but just so we get the lay of the land, So we see the so we all read together the numbers involved. The first creative hierarchy is apparently on the third subplane of the cosmic astral plane. We're not given a name for it. Its ray is the third, interestingly, related to the sign Pisces, which, since water is matter, connects water with the third ray, the ray of matter. Its energy is that of intelligent substance. There are no comments given. Its number is 1 and number is 12. This is just, you know, I don't know how many of us have clearly focused on exactly what the Tibetan has put in these charts, or whether we've just sort of run our eyes over them, but it helps to fix our attention on these things so that the numbers make an impression upon us, and when that impression is made, the possibility of correlating the information is better than if we have simply a vague notion. The second of the liberated creative hierarchies is on the fourth sub-level, sub-plane of the cosmic astral plane. No, it has to be this. I just thought of a correlation. Well, I know I'm not supposed to interpret here, but maybe when these ideas come to me, see, in a way, Earth, the planetary locus, has been struggling, particularly on this plane, which is, in a way, a plane of struggle because it's ruled by the fourth ray and by a sign of combat. And the unity through effort is achieved, and that's one of the major descriptors of the manner in which the Aries energy functions. So, whereas we are destined in our planet, our planetary logos, to ascend to the fifth level of the cosmic astral plane, whereon Venus already has long been functioning, Venus is ready to ascend to the second level of the cosmic astral plane, which is not even delineated in this particular tabulation. Although there is a theorist, I think a man with a very profound third ray here in Finland, his name is Raimo Keloharju, and he's written some books which deal, which extrapolate and extend higher and higher hierarchies according to their numbers, and he does go on with the second level of the cosmic astral plane, giving it to Aquarius. And then the top level of the cosmic astral plane is given to Capricorn. He is no longer taking the reversal of Capricorn and Sagittarius, as is found down here. See, normally it would be Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, but on the cosmic physical plane there's been this reversal of hierarchies, which is somewhat mysterious. Well, not somewhat mysterious, very mysterious. But when Raimo continues his extrapolation of hierarchies, he no longer takes that reversal. He simply continues. So Pisces, third subplane, Aquarius second, Capricorn first, and then if we got onto the cosmic mental plane, we would find that Sagittarius would rule the lowest level of the cosmic mental plane, followed by Scorpio, and on and on and on, all the way up to the top of the super cosmic physical plane, which we have seen in the map on page 344. We'll just call it the super cosmic physical plane. DK doesn't really call it that, but that's probably what it has to be if there are 10 dimensions in cosmos. Anyway, on the fifth level, also an unknown name, we have the well, it's really, yeah, it is the fifth level down, because remember, two cosmic subplanes are not given a relationship. And notice the relationship between the numbers and the rays. 1 with 3, of course, 2 with 4, 3 with 5, that all makes sense. The sign Taurus rules And light through knowledge is the energy quality, and the number down is 3, and the number up is 10. When we're dealing with a fifth plane, we're always dealing with illumination, so it fits to have Taurus there. And Taurus is keen on the acquisition of knowledge, and through that acquisition, the liberation of light. So is this a Kama monastic level of the cosmic astral plane? Certainly a higher form of Manas is influencing here through Taurus, the mother of illumination. Our next subplane is the sixth subplane of the cosmic astral plane, but it is the fourth of the liberated creative hierarchies that we are considering. Again, no name is given, but desire for duality is the energy involved, and so we can see how this would work out in pointing the life stream downward onto the cosmic physical plane, where duality reigns in so many of the relationships. Gemini being the sign of duality, the sixth ray being the sign of the ray of desire. So we see how these two are put together in desire for duality. It's the ninth up. Now, you know, obviously we can relate the numbers because our fourth creative hierarchy, human, has its numbers as 9 and 4. It's the fourth up, the ninth down, and expresses the fourth ray. And this Gemini hierarchy, Gemini being so important somehow in the sending in of the solar angels, has the number 4 down and 9 up. The numbers are very similar. So according to numbers, we can relate and interrelate the various liberated and still not liberated hierarchies. It says hierarchy 1 to 4 inclusive, that is 12 to 9 inclusive, numbering up, have reached liberation, that's good, liberation, regarded as abstractions. Well, they are very real on their own level, but I suppose they are not directly contactable by human consciousness at this point, and so that which is as if it were not, though it is as an abstraction. And he deals apparently with this on a treatise in Cosmic Fire, page 361. Then we come to the fifth creative hierarchy, which we have been discussing. Its name is not given. Its numbers are 5 and 8. Those are mental and mercurial numbers, so they fit very well with the idea that it is related to the intellectual plane. The number of Mercury, monadic number, is 5. I speculate that its sub-monadic ray is the fifth, but it is also the hierarchical ruler of the eighth sign, Scorpio, which is the guardian at the eighth gate, and the kundalini of sponsored by or the kundalini which Mercury is the inducing planet for, operates. I've seen a map where there are these ascending and descending figure eights, and this is how the kundalini rises, and also it is a kind of picture of the Antikarana, which apparently occurs in a figure eight. I have an old map. It was drawn by some of the people in the earlier group of the Tibetan, and it was in the possession of a disciple that I knew. She was the youngest, I guess, of all the disciples, and she had a lot of the material. They kind of gave it to her as a She was kind of a repository of this material. And there the Antikorana was portrayed in ascending and descending figure eights. Maybe somewhere I can dig that up and show it to you. The mass life is involved here, but one wonders if mass life is not all life considered in aggregates, all life found upon the cosmic physical plane. And we've been discussing. Notice that some of these rays are related to the rays which are actually transmitted through the signs. The seventh ray is transmitted through Cancer, but others of the rays are not related to the transmission coming through the constellations. Perhaps they are related to some of the planets which rule. For instance, the fifth ray in relation to Taurus is the ray of Venus, which is one of its rulers. The fourth ray in relation to Aries is the ray of Mercury, which is one of Aries' rulers, the esoteric ruler. There are all kinds of connections here which one can find, but we need the main highway, as the Tibetan has said, and once that is somewhat clear, we are then at liberty to pursue some of the more subtle connections. The five Kumaras, this is to me a fairly ambiguous term. What is a Kumara after all? There are intraplanetary Kumaras, and they are found as seven lives within a planetary logos. Sanat Kumara, let's say, in our system, being the principal Kumara, and also, in a way, the planetary logos, or an emanative extension of the planetary logos. But what about those other six surrounding him? Three of them are the Buddhas of activity, and three above, which are not manifest, are called the esoteric Kumaras. We have to wonder whether this table of hierarchies pertains to these particular Kumaras on our planet, or whether it has a more systemic relationship and applies to lives throughout the solar system. It might be here a planetary adaptation. We don't know, for instance, whether on other planets the solar angels would be considered in a position below man. This might have much to do with the condition on our particular planet. So how low did the solar angels have to descend on other planets? Because they are also active on other planets as well. So the question I'm asking here is, are these two charts pertaining to our planetary logos, or are they pertaining to all the planetary logoi in our particular solar system? Because after all, the creative hierarchies are not just planetary in scope. They are stimulated from the second tier of petals of the 21-fold, seven-tiered egoic lotus of the solar logos, and they are systemic lives. So are we looking at a systemic chart here, or is it a planetary adaptation of a systemic chart? Okay, now, you know, what we're trying to do here is simply confirm the numbers. And if we go down, yes, I was talking about the Kumaras, and well, the planetary logoi themselves are called Kumaras. But it does not seem that these particular hierarchies are actually planetary logoi. They may be connected with the planetary logoi. They may have similar energies. And by the five, I suppose we would talk about the 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which are the Brahmic logoi. You know, Brahma, in a way, begins with the number 3. And that's its first step. So the numbers of Brahma are 1 through 5, but it also begins with the third ray and goes to the seventh. And DK in Cosmic Fire does talk about these relationships of 1 to 3, 2 to 4, 3 to 5, 4 to 6, and 5 to 7. We know that via the planet Uranus, there was always a relationship between the electrical 5 and the 7 of Uranus, and the 5th ray and the 7th work closely together. Anyway, these Kumaras are probably not, I mean, I may have to eat my words at some point here, but it seems to me that the creative hierarchies that we are talking about are of a lower status than the planetary logoi. They are monads of different types, but we cannot consider, I think, that these particular Kumaras are the divine Kumaras, which are the planetary logoi. I think they are in a way correlated with those divine Kumaras and are found on an intraplanetary basis. I do continue to find the writing here that says the 5 Kumaras. I find it puzzling because there are different kinds of Kumaras, but I cannot see that the creative hierarchies here listed are in status equal to planetary logoi, who many, many Mahakalpas ago stood at the level of mastership. These are, I think, various kinds of deva hierarchies. It's rather hard to discriminate a so-called human hierarchy, you know, the heavenly man, the grand heavenly man, the super grand heavenly man, you know, these are the man hierarchies, from the deva hierarchies. In a way, man is a deva as well as a man. So at a certain point, the devic and the man elements in the hierarchies do meet. I'm just, what I am trying to say here is that I think if we were to put planetary logoi in their proper place in a table of creative hierarchies, it would be much higher than the ones that are here given. And since planetary logoi are called Kumaras, the kinds of Kumaras that these hierarchies represent, I think, are reflections of the Brahmic Kumaras, which I would call Saturn, number one, Mercury, number two, Venus, number three, Mars, number four. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. I'm thinking of the rays. 3, 4, 5, 6, Mars. And as far as number 7, perhaps an unknown planet, I don't think we can call it Uranus. Because when it comes to Uranus and Neptune, they may have lower reflections on the 6th and 7th rays, but their true rays are Uranus, first ray, and Neptune, second ray. So I don't believe that these particular hierarchies are necessarily direct reflections of the hierarchy number 4 and 5 are direct reflections of Neptune 6 and Uranus 7. Okay, that is very speculative. Suffice it to say, I'm trying to say that there are greater and lesser Kumaras, and I believe that these are lesser Kumaras, perhaps of an intra-planetary nature, and not the solar systemic Kumaras. Okay, let's see where we are here. We're just mapping the planes, the hierarchies. The first of the manifested creative hierarchies is its number is 6, and its ray is number 1. And they are called, now we get some names, they're called Divine Flames and Divine Lives. They are ruled by Leo, The planet is the sun. The color is orange. The energy is Parashakti. This is called supreme energy. The comments in relation to it, fire and air and logoic plane. They are found on the logoic plane. We don't know on what subplane of the logoic plane, because also the fifth almost liberated hierarchy is also found on the logoic plane, but probably on a different subplane. So the numbers here are 6, 1, and 7. What planet is here found? It is the sun, but is it really Vulcan? Is the sun veiling Vulcan in relationship to this sea of fire? You know, the higher correspondence of a volcano, perhaps. The next creative hierarchy is the seventh down. Its ray is the second, and it correlates with the second subplane of the cosmic physical plane. They are called divine builders. Some of these things are miswritten, but I think it means conferring soul, also called the burning sons of desire. Virgo is the foremost distributor of the second ray. The planet here is Jupiter, which in its hierarchical aspect is a monadic planet. Jupiter, the hierarchical ruler of Virgo. The color is blue, and this is Kriya Shakti, or materializing the ideal, the divine ideal, and the perfect ideal is oftentimes found in relation to Virgo, and its number 6. Virgo brings in the second ray and the sixth ray. Leo brings in the first ray, but not the seventh. So these are the esoteric planes, esoteric subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, and these two hierarchies must be considered relatively esoteric among the manifested creative hierarchies when compared to the Brahmic manifested creative hierarchies. These are the Brahmic unmanifested creative hierarchies, or the last one perhaps partially manifested, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And these, starting with hierarchy number 8, are the Brahmic manifested hierarchies. These are called lesser builders. Well, certainly not lesser in any sense related to the unconscious lesser builders in the system of man. They are simply cosmically lesser. They are conferring form, and Brahma does confer form. It is the activity which helps in the building of the form. They're called the triple flowers. They are related to the third ray. The triple flower suggests the fleur-de-lis, the symbol of France, which has such a powerful intellect. France, I think, is very somehow connected with the fleur-de-lis and the triple flowers. This is the highest aspect of Brahma among the manifested creative hierarchies. Libra is the sign. The planet fittingly is Saturn, the planet of the third ray, and the color green, relating both to Capricorn and to Saturn. Jnana Shakti, which is the intellectual yoga, is its energy. It's the force of mind, but higher mind. Water, well, only water is matter, is what I can think of here. We have fire, air, and ether here, or maybe it should be called aether up on the second subplane, or perhaps it should be called akasha. But anyway, water or matter begins on the third or fifth subplane of the cosmic physical plane. And this is the atmic plane, plane of spiritual will and law, connected with Saturn, of course. And its number up is 5. So its numbers are 8, 3, and 5. Again, these are strongly mercurial numbers and strongly Saturnian numbers. There is a reflection of the universal mind found here on the third level. We come down to the human creative hierarchy. Our numbers are 9, 4, and 4. We certainly have the fours, don't we? And we could do some work relating these numbers to the unmanifested creative hierarchies, but that would be interesting, though obscure and very abstract, and perhaps not immediately practical. But, you know, one could do that. One could trace these different numbers and see what the similarities might be. We call this the human hierarchy. It's the human hierarchy of monads. All of these hierarchies are hierarchies of monads. We are called the initiates. We are lords of sacrifice. Remember, the law of sacrifice, the very first law of the soul, is ruled by the fourth ray. We are those who choose to die. We are those who take our pilgrimage into the lower worlds unconsciously at first. It's a choice. Somehow we should be related to the Pisces hierarchy on the higher plane, because Pisces is the great sign of sacrifice, and the monads are lords of ceaseless and persevering devotion. So we have entered these lower worlds. Our true level will be on the Buddhic plane. The human hierarchy, a battling hierarchy, is ruled by Scorpio, and our planet is Mercury, also the star of conflict, and our color is yellow, which from some perspectives is the color of suffering. Mantrika Shakti is our energy, and this means the power of the word of mantram. Immediately we think of Mercury, our ruler, as connected, as the planet most connected with the word. We are the word made flesh. Speech is our method. It shows our strong connection to the third ray as well as the fourth ray. And we have to speak the words of liberation. Solar angels, it calls, the term solar angels is used here, and it may be that the true home of the solar angels is the Buddhic plane after all. But solar angels are already graduates of a previous solar system and much higher than the human monads. And the solar angels' manifestation really is on the fifth plane. That's their service manifestation. The question is, to what extent are these beings truly Buddhic? And to what extent is this fourth subplane of the cosmic physical plane their true home? To what extent is man the solar angel? Man and the solar angel, they have different monads, even though all monads are one. But this is showing the intimate relationship of the solar angels to the human creative hierarchy. It's as if the solar angels know everything and can do everything that man is destined to know in relation to the Buddhic plane. All right, this is as far as I can get in this particular esoteric astrology adventure number 15. I will carry on with this delineation, where we're simply basically mapping the numbers. I'm throwing in a little bit of interpretation, but it's important for us to get the numbers. We should be able, with our eyes closed, to say, okay, a hierarchy, manifested hierarchy number one, it's a six, it's a one, it's a seven. It's ruled by Leo. They're called the divine lives, the divine flames, you know, Parashakti. We should know all these things, because if we're going to be able to think this through, we should be as familiar with these terms as the astrologer is with the astrological terms. I'm not saying I can do this either, but this is desirable for us to know the different kind of Shaktis, the different types of energies, the different elements, the signs involved, the numbers involved, and the names of these creative hierarchies. Basically, what we're looking at is the builders of form. We're looking at the monads behind all the forms and fields of energy on the cosmic physical plane. Okay, everybody, let's have our great invocation from the point of light within, and then we will move on to the next. On to the next. Home. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Om. I think just to give page numbers, we have basically been dealing only with pages 33 and 34, and a little bit of 35. That's basically where we have been in this. Yeah, it says from page 32, and we're including page 35. I have to include these to help orient us a little bit better. Okay, that will be it for now. And we will get the next one out to you as soon as may be possible.